I thought maybe I'd go through some of the lesser known halachas of Yom Kippur and Aseres Yemei Teshuva. In Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, he said, "Mipnecha toenu golina miatzenu," and we're no longer able to bring the Musafim. And Yiratzim alfanecha, the Beis Hamikdash should be rebuilt, and we should be able to bring again the Musafim, as it says in the Chumash. And we read the psukim about b'chodesh hashvi b'echad l'chodesh, and then we say minchas meniskem kemedubar shloish esrim l'apor shnei esrim loel v'sar l'keves ve'ayin kenisko. Then we say shnei sirim l'chaper, one sawyer for Rosh Hashanah and one sawyer because it happens to be Rosh Chodesh also. So shnei sirim l'chaper, and then in all the machzorim it says shnei smidim kehuchasam. That is true. You do bring two tmidim kehuchasam. But the Nebi Yehuda has comments that are printed on the side of the page, on the margin, in the big Shulchan Aruch, that's called the Dogel Mervova. So he writes, he thinks we should delete those two words, Shnei Svidim Kel Chasam, we shouldn't say it, because after we say that, then we say, L'vado Elas HaChodesh HaMin Chasa, V'Elas HaTamin HaMin Chasa. So we're going to quote a Pasuk, where it's going to say, so it's not right to say the same thing twice. So he thinks we should leave out those three words, Shnei Smidim Kehil Chasam, in the Musaf Dikash Mane Esrei on Rosh Hashanah. We should leave out those few words, Shnei Smidim Kehil Chasam, from the phrase of Minchas Menes Kem Kem Du, because we're going to read a Pasuk. The next thing is going to be the Pasuk, where it's going to be mentioned again about the Shnei Smidim. And Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we have a piyut that we insert in the bracha v'ata kodesh v'shimcha kodesh, v'chein tein pachtecha, v'chein tein kovet, v'chein tzadikim. And we mention over there, we hope and pray that we'll be able to see the day. Kol risha kula biosh antichle. All risha in the world, all evil will go up in smoke. So the chayodim thinks that it's a mistake. What's printed in all the machzorim, all the chumashim, it says kol risha kula ki oshan tichle. Should disappear as smoke disappears. He says the Loshon in Tanakh is this expression, kol rishu kula b'yoshen tichle, doesn't say, but there's such similar things. So he thinks that it should be a base, kol rishu kula b'yoshen tichle. On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, most communities have the minig on Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, also all the Shalosh Regalim. When we open up the Aron Kodesh to take out the Sifrei Torah for the purpose of Kriyas HaTorah, so we recite the Yud Gimel Midas, Hashem Hashem Kel Racham Lechanam. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch recommends that before you start saying Hashem Hashem Kel Racham, we say usually most Kehillot say it three times. Rav Soloveitchik's practice was he only said it once. Because if you say three times, it may sound as if you believe in the Trinity. That's the Mishnah in Brachas that says, one who says Shema Shema, Mishaskenosi, you're not allowed to say Shema more than once. Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad, that's all. There's only one God. And many of the weddings now, they have a niggun where they keep on repeating, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, they keep on saying over and over and over again. That's exactly what you're not allowed to do. Because it looks as if you believe in more than one Elokeinu. You say Hashem Echad, you should only say it once. So Rav Soloveitchik's practice was on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, he only said once, Yud Gimel Midas. Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, he didn't say it all. He thought that it's a trinus. You don't, that kind of a trini you don't say. But Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, his practice was, he said once. So in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, it says that before you're about to start, each time, most shuls, they say three times, each time you're about to begin mentioning the Yud Gimel Midas Hashem Hashem Kal Racham Lechanun, you should begin from the beginning of the pasuk. Vayav Hashem Apano Vayikra Hashem Hashem Kal Racham Lechanun. So there are commentaries on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch where they ask, why did the author of the Kitzur think that it was necessary to begin from the beginning of the pasuk? True, there is a rule called Psuka Delei Paske Moshe Anan Loi Paskinon. But that rule only applies if you're reciting psukim as psukim. Here you're saying Yud Gimel Midas, you're going to end in the middle. You're going to say Ben Akei. Pasuk keeps on going. Lo yinake poker over rabbis habanim al bila shleishim al bibeim l'soinai. Keeps on going. So we're not saying a whole pasuk here anyway. We're stopping in the middle. So what's a bit if you start in the middle? You're reciting the Yudim al midas as midas. You're not saying them as a pasuk. If you're not saying it as a pasuk, you're saying it HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says Vayav Hashem al panim ve'ikra, and the Gemara has the comment Malamish in this. If not for the fact that that's what it says, kemat explicitly in the Chumash, we wouldn't be able to say such a thing. That what melamish in esata b'kadosh baruch hu kushliach tzibur, because it says vayabar Hashem al ponov. In Mishnayis, we have an expression shliach tzibur is over lifnei hateva. So here vayabar Hashem al ponov, b'kadosh baruch hu went to serve as the shliach tzibur in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu. Malamish and the chazan is supposed to wear a talis. So malamid shenisata b'kodesh baruch hu k'shliach tzibur. Rabbeinu Shlom, Moshe Rabbeinu had a vision, as if the Rabbeinu Shlom put on a talis and is functioning as a shliach tzibur, and the Rabbeinu Shlom is reciting Hashem Hashem k'arach l'chanun, and he tells Moshe Rabbeinu calls mancha b'nei choytim whenever the Jewish people sin. Yasu l'fanik say the hazeb ani moichalehem. Let them do like this. Let them put up the Shleach Tzibur. Let the Shleach Tzibur recite the Yud Gimel Midas, and everyone will say along. And if we'll do true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive all the Averis. So they ask on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, why did he feel that it's necessary to start from the beginning of the Pasuk? You're saying the Yud Gimel Midas, Betaris Midas. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu at that time. He showed him, this is what they should do. They should say, Yud Gimel Midas begins Hashem Hashem Kal Rachum Echanan. Why should you begin with Vayabra Hashem Al Ponov? So some suggest, because the Tosfos in the first Perek and Rosh Hashanah has two opinions, where did the Yud Gimel Midas begin? So some of the Rishonim say, Vayabra Hashem Al Ponov, Vayikra Hashem, colon. And the Yud Gimel Midas begin from the second Shem. Hashem kal rachum lechanum. We usually assume not so. We don't say vayav Hashem al panav vayikra when they take out the Sefer Torah. And even by the slichas, every morning by slichas, when we say slichas, so usually there's a long pause. Everybody says vayav Hashem al panav vayikra. Then the chazan says vayav Hashem al panav vayikra. Then after a pause, then you say Hashem kal rachum lechanum. So we consider it as if the first of the Yud Gimel Midas says Hashem. Hashem, they're both Shemus of Hashem. But because there's one opinion in Tosfos otherwise, that the punctuation of the Pasuk, the way you read the Pasuk, should be Vayav Hashem al panav, Vayikra Hashem, colon, and then the Midas begin from this, with the second name of Hashem, Hashem kal rachum lechanun. So if you're just going to start from Hashem, Hashem, the first Shem Hashem will be Moitzei Shem Shemayim Levatola, because it's not really the first of the Yud Gimel Midas. So that's what some suggest that perhaps is the reason why Abshleim Gansried suggested this idea that before you say Hashem Hashem Kal Rach Lachanun, you should begin from the beginning of the pasuk. And according to that, Taka, every day when you say the slichas, you shouldn't allow such a long pause between Hashem Apanu Vayikra until you finally finish off Hashem Hashem Kal Rach Lachanun. You should say it together because of the two shittas, how you're supposed to read the pasuk. On the other day, on some Gedalia, we lain Vaychal. Then when we lain Vaychal, so we lain that pasuk. Vayavasham parikra, Hashem ishkan rach machanan, v'nakei lo yinakei. So the end of the Yud Gimel Midas is v'nakei. And the Chazal had a tradition, menaku hu l'shovim v'enem menaku l'sheinem shovim. That is not a phrase that goes together. According to the Trappan, Ake Loi and Ake goes together. But according to the Gemara, the tradition in the Gemara is that you read Venake, that's the end of the Yud Gimel Midas. Then Loi and Ake is a different Midah. Poker Aben Abbas, Abbanim, and so on. So that's why Rav Soloveitchik used to be very makbid that the Bakori should pause when he's laying Kriyas HaTorah on Parshas Kisiso, or whenever you're laying Vaychal on a Taina Sibur. So when he gets to the end of an ake, he should pause a little bit and then say, lo yin ake, shouldn't lay it together. I remember once the Bakori lained it the way the trap is, when ake, lo yin ake, he made him read over the pasuk again. He said, you're supposed to pause in between. Because the Chazal says, a Gemara in Yuma, I think, v'nakuhu l'shovim v'enem v'naku l'sheinim shovim. So there's supposed to be a hafsoka, a pause in between v'nakei and lo yinakei. The Minkacha has this in his sefer also. To have the sefer has all of the hanhogas of the Mincha Saluza, the Minkacha Rebbe. He passed away before the Second World War. He wasn't zeichet to see the Second World War. He lived through the First World War, but he didn't see the Second World War. So he writes, they write that was his practice. He insisted the Balkari should pause in between v'nakei and lo yinakei. The Gemara learns that from Psukim that on Erev Yom Kippur there's a mitzvah to eat. So what exactly does that mean? So in the Sefer Tenuas HaMusar, remember when I was a little boy, they came out with the set of the Svarim Tenuas HaMusar. My father liked it very much, so he told me I should read it also. So I was influenced. I didn't become so musadik, I should have become, but I was influenced by many of the stories. So they have there the Hanhoga Rabbi Sol Salanter, that because there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, he would suck on an all-day-long taffy, all day long. So someone mentioned this to Rav Soloveitchik. He thought that that was disgusting. He didn't think that that was pshat. He said, the Gemara means you should have a suda on Erev Yom Kippur. Doesn't mean you should eat all day long. Have a candy in your mouth all day long. He didn't think that that could possibly be the pshat on the Gemara. There is a discussion in the poskim regarding this mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. You have a suda, b'kovad d'kasuda. Does it only apply in the daytime of Erev Yom Kippur? Or does it even apply the night before Erev Yom Kippur? Because al pi halacha, Yom HaShel Torah goes from sundown to sundown, from Tzeisa Kochavim till Tzeisa Kochavim. So that's Machloikis and Rishonim. There's a Rashi in the first Perek in Ksubis, where the Gemara says you really shouldn't have a chasana on Sunday, shouldn't have any weddings on Sunday. Shema Yishchad Ben Of, because they may be preparing for the wedding. They may serve chicken at the wedding, and they may forget and start shechting the oifis for the wedding. On Shabbos, they may start the preparations too soon. W Machal Shabbos, Shem Yishchad Ben Of. So on that Gemara, Shem Yishchad Ben Of, that's where Rashi takes a stand on this issue. But in Shulchan Aruch, the Bir Agro explains that there are two minhagim regarding slichas on Erev Yom Kippur. Everybody says very long slichas on Erev Rosh Hashanah, 2 hours long. And the Shalas Erev Yom Kippur. So by the Ekis, they have Slichas 2 hours long and Erev Yom Kippur also, just like Erev Rosh Hashanah. And the rest of the world, you only have 15 minutes, very brief Slichas. So the Nitziv, in his commentary on the Shiltis, writes that he thinks that the fundamental Machloikis here is, when is there a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? If the mitzvah to eat is to prepare for the tonis, so most probably it doesn't make sense to assume that what you're going to eat, when is the tonis? On Sunday night. So what you're going to eat on Matzoi Shabbos, that's going to help fill you up on fasting on Monday. Yom Kippur begins on Sunday night. It's too far in advance. What you eat on Erev Yom Kippur in the daytime, Erev Yom Kippur is Sunday, so that will fill you, so you won't be starving on Monday, on Yom Kippur. What are you going to eat on Motzoi Shabbos? That's probably not going to help. So if we should assume that the rationale behind the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is to prepare for the tonis, then it doesn't make sense, does not make sense that you should have a suda on Leil Erev Yom Kippur. Masha'inikain, if you say, it's a separate mitzvah b'fnei atzma. It's not for the purpose of making hachana for the tonis. Why should it be a mitzvah b'fnei atzma? So many suggest that the Mishnah says in the end of Tainis, Yom Kippur is supposed to be Yom Kippur and Chamisha Sabav are the two jolliest days in the year, in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. That's when they made all the shiduchim. The Nois Yisrael would be dancing in the vineyards, and the boys would pick shiduchim, and that's one of the reasons Tosfos suggests why we lain the parsha of Arayis to Mincha on Yom Kippur. Why is that on Yom Kippur? The Tosfos says because they made a lot of shiduchim on Yom Kippur, so you have to review all the dinim and chumash, which relatives are permitted to get married to each other, which not. That's one of the suggestions that Tosfos gives. So the Gemara says, why was Yom Kippur such a jolly day? Gemara says, Yom Shin Ditnam Batarin. Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luch HaShnias on Yom Kippur. It's Yom Mechila Slicha, but it's also the day of Kabbalah Sater. So the Gemara says, Shavuos, there was a Machloikis HaTanaim, Rab Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Machloikis in Sochem and Machloikis in Beitza. How is one supposed to observe Simchas Yontif? There seems to be a contradiction between the two psukim. One pasuk describes Yontif Atzeres Tiel Lachem, you eat and drink and you make merry. And one pasuk describes Atzeres Lashem Alakecha, a day dedicated to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. You should daven all day long. You should learn Torah all day long. Rama, she gives sermons, drashas, shiurim, davening and learning Torah. So which is it? Is it Atzeres Tiel Lachem? Is it Atzeres Lashem Alakecha? So when you have Shnei Ksuvim HaMakchishim Zezeh, when you have a contradiction between two psukim, then we have Akosav HaShlishi Sheachriya Beinayim, so that's one of the Midrashot turned in Rosh Hashanah. But what do you do when you have Shnei Ksuvim HaMakchishim, like over here, Atzeres Tielachem and Atzeres HaShem Alakecha, and there is no Akosav HaShlishi Sheachriya Beinayim? So that's a Machlokes HaTanoim. So Reb Lezer is of the opinion that whenever you have such a situation, it means that it's optional. You can either do A or you can do B. Akula Lashem, Akula Lachem. You have to daven, you have to eat the little food, but the question is, what should the bulk of the day be? So Reb Lezer of the opinion, it's optional, either like this or like that. And we pass like Rabbi Yeshua, that even when there is no Kosav HaShlishi, Sheachriya Beinayim, we should be Machriya on our own, Chetzel Hashem, Chetzel Lachem. And the Rambam describes it. The Rambam has this both in Hilchos Shabbos and in Hilchos Yontif, Chetzel Hashem and Chetzel Lachem, with slightly different, slight shinuyim between the two, the way he words it. Rav Soloveitchik once dedicated a Yahrzeit Rasha to talking about this topic. So he pointed out that from the Rambam it would appear very, very mashma from the Rambam that it has to be, first you have to dav Ma'ariv, and then you have the first Suda on Shabbos and Yontif. Then you daven Shachris and Musaf in the morning, then you have the second Suda. Then you daven Mincha, then you have Shalosh Shudas. That's why many Poskim have a Kpeda. You shouldn't have Shalosh Shudas before you daven Mincha. Why not? What's wrong? Because it has to be Lashem Lachem, Lashem Lachem, and Lashem Lachem. The Mogen Avraham has a comment in a lot of shuls in the summertime, the Mekabel Shabbos early. And a lot of people don't want to say Kriya Shema with the bracha so early. Tosfos is of the opinion, the Gemara says that there was a machlekes Reb Yudah, the Mishnah has a machlekes Reb Yudah and the Rabbanon. When is this man mincha over? When does this man amayrid begin? Reb Yudah's opinion is that plaga mincha. Mincha ktana is 2.5 hours before the end of the day, and half of that is 1.25 hours. That's called plag ha-mincha, half of the mincha ktana. Mincha Gedola starts a half an hour after Chatzos. That's the earliest you can daven Mincha. But more correct, the Rambam says, is the daven Mincha Ketana. So Reb Yudah's opinion is, you can't daven Mincha after Plaga Mincha. In the last hour and a quarter of the day, you can daven Ma'ariv already. So Tosfos on the first Mishnah in Brochas, that Beis HaManal of Tosfos of the opinion, that not only does Reb Yudah hold you can daven Mincha, not only does he hold you can daven Ma'ariv, when the sun is still shining after Plaga Mincha, the last hour and a quarter of the day, but you can be Yotze Kriya Shema with the brachas also. So the Rosh, right away on the opening Mishnah, asks, where did they get that from? Reb Yudah only argues with the Chachamim about the Zman of Davening Mincha Ma'ariv. He never said a word about Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema is B'shoch B'chov Kumecha. Nobody's going to sleep when the sun is the babies. He's putting the babies to sleep. But the adults are not going to sleep at that time. How can Reb Yudah say that's the Zman for Kriya Shema Shel Arvis? So many people are not so keen about the Ramo and Shulchan Aruch quotes. Many are medaktik that when they daven at an early minyan in the summertime, when the Mekabel Shabbos is early, they'll just say Shemona Esrei, and they won't say Kriya Shema with the brachas. They wait till after Seisa Kochavim, then they say Kriya Shema with the brachas. So the Magen Avraham says, if you have such a person, so he can do like this. He can daven mincha in Kabbalah Shabbos at the first minyan. Then when the first minyan says Baruch Hu, and they're saying Kriya Shema with the brachas, he can go home. make Kiddush, eat the whole meal, then come back an hour later and daven with the second minyan, Ma'ariv. He can say, without having daven Ma'ariv yet, the Magen Avraham says, he can make Kiddush and eat the meal and say Ritzei. He'll be outside the Shabbos Dikim meal. And then he'll go back to Shul and daven Kriyat Shema with the brachas and Ma'ariv at the second minyan. So they quote from the Vilna Gaon that he thought that the Magen Avraham was not correct. The only time the Gemara says, Rav Tzaldish Shal Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos, and he said Kiddush also. So the Vilna Gaon was Madak, that's because Tzaldish, he davened Ma'ariv first. If you davened Ma'ariv first, then you can have Suda Shabbos. Has Be'chetzi Al Hashem, Be'chetzi Al Hashem. That's how the Rambam describes. First you have the davened Ma'ariv, then you have the first Suda. The Magen Avraham says, you can have the first Suda, Leil Shabbos, before you even davened Ma'ariv. You davened Mincha early, you finish Mincha before Plaga Mincha, and then the Chazan and the Tzibah say Kabbalah Shabbos, Ms. Mishali Yom HaShabbos, Boi Vishalim, Ateres, Boi Kala, Boi Kala, the Kabbalah Shabbos. Then you go home, and you make Kiddush, and you eat, but you didn't daven Ma'ariv yet. You just said Kabbalah Shabbos, Yom HaKabbal Tosefes Shabbos. So the Magen Avraham writes that that's okay, and they quote from the Vilna Gaon, he thinks that it's not good. The Rav Soloveitchik said that that idea that's based on this Rambam, that the Rambam says, has to be Lashem Lachem, Lashem Lachem, and Lashem Lachem. You have to first daven Ma'ariv before having the Suda Leil Shabbos and Leil Yantiv, and then on Shabbos afternoon, you shouldn't have Shabbos Shudas before you daven Mincha. It has to be first Lashem and then Lachem. So that's what the Netziv points out. There's the Chilufim in Hogim, whether you say 2 hours long Slichas, that's by the Eckers from Frankfurt. They say Slichas 2 hours long. The reason why is because they hold that the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur only applies in the daytime. The night, on Matzoi Shabbos, the night of Erev Yom Kippur, there's no mitzvah to eat, so it's not considered a yontav. So you can say long, long Slichas. The assumption of the Netziv is that people are saying Slichas at night. Now in America, the practice is that people come to Shul after Hanetzach Rama and they start saying Slichas. Slichas is supposed to be Balailo. So that's what the Vilna Gaon sort of says. The Shaila, whether they say the long Slichas or the short Slichas, that's the Shaila. When is there a Suda? When is there a mitzvah to have a Suda? So many Rishonim think that the mitzvah is not only Bayom, the daytime, it's Leil Erev Yom Kippur also. If it's to prepare for the Tonus, you should fill yourself up. Then the Netziv writes, he doesn't think it makes sense to eat on Leil Erev Yom Kippur. That's not going to carry you over to the Tonus. So it must be that, just like on Shavuos, the Gemara said, there was a Machlekes, Rav Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, should you divide the day Chetzel Hashem and Chetzel Lachem? Or do you say, no, Okula Lachem, Okula Lachem? So the Gemara says, this Machlekes, Rav Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, what do you do with the Shnei Ksuvim, HaMakrishim, Zeh? Atzeres Tielachem, Atzeres Lashem Elakechem, Lashem Elakechem. This machlokes only applies to Pesach and Sukkot. The Gemara says, Hakol Moedim Batzeres. All the Tanoim agree on Shavuos, the Bina Nami Lachem, you have to have B'kobet Dikamils, because Yom Shindit Nimbatorah. Shavuos was a day of Kabbalah Satorah, so you have to celebrate by having a fancy Suda, a very fancy Suda. So the same should have been on Yom Kippur. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luchos Shnios, the Gemara says, that's the Gemara in the end of Tainus. They would dance and make shiduchim. Gemara says, why are you celebrating on Yom Kippur? Yom Shnit Matar. So Yom Shnit Matar, so you should, it's a mitzvah to eat all day long, the night before, on Matzoi Shabbos and on Sunday, not as a hachone, not so much as a hachone for fasting on Yom Kippur. As the celebration for Kabbalah Sater, you can't eat on Yom Kippur. And Hakol Moedim, all the Tanoim agree that on Shavuos you have to have an elaborate meal because Yom Shnit Matar. So Hakol Moedim on Yom Kippur also you should have an elaborate meal, but on Yom Kippur you can't. It's a Tonis. It's a Dinah Chumash V'Nisim Esnaf Shesechem. So you have the elaborate meals and Erev Yom Kippur all day long. So if you say that it's all day long, then you can't say long Slichas on a Yom Tov. If there's a chiyuv suda, it means that you're celebrating Kabbalah Sater. So you can't have long slichas. You have to have that sheet, that opinion holds that you have very bekitzah. That's the common practice. You only have 15 minutes of slichas on Erev Yom Kippur or less. But if you hold that the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur is in preparation for Yom Kippur, it's a true Erev Yom Kippur, we treat it like a yontif. But we're saying slichas before, in the middle of the night, but it's not saying slichas in the daytime. Middle of the night, there is no mitzvah to eat. The mitzvah suit is only in the daytime. That's what the Netziv points out, that the Bir Agro puts these two together. There is a famous opinion of the Halachas Gedolos. The author of the Halachas Gedolos lived in the days of the Gaonim. He himself was not from the Gaonim. The name of the yeshiva was Yeshivas Gaon Yaakov. And the one who was the president of yeshiva was called Rosh Yeshivas Gaon Yaakov. So it's a long title. Rosh Yeshivas, they called them the Goyim, the Kitzah. So some of them were really Gaonim and learning, and some of them were presidents, fundraisers. They were good fundraisers to raise money for the yeshiva. So the Sefer Halachas Gedolos is the Sefer HaMitzvahs, tries to list off which are the Taryag Mitzvahs. He was way before the Rambam. The Rambam based much of his Sefer HaMitzvahs on the Halachas Gedolos, on the Bahag. But here and there, he disagreed very strongly with certain shittas that he had. The author of the Halachas Gedolos was not the head of the yeshiva. He was not from the Goyim. He lived in the days of the Goyim. Some say he was Rav Yehudoi Goyen, and others say it was Rav Shimon Kayora, a different person. Anyway, so the Bahag has this chumrah that Tosis is not happy with. Bahag has a chumrah that once you bench licht on Erev Shabbos, is Kabbalah Sefer Shabbos Bal Korcha for all the members of the family. No one can do any malachi after the mother benches licht. The mother benches licht for her husband, for herself, her husband, and all their children. So everybody's covered with that halachas on there, so no one's allowed to do malach. We don't follow that. We follow a little bit of Bahag. We follow the Bahag that it's Kabbalah Tosef Shabbos Bal Korcha for the woman who benches licht, not for the others. One of the significant nafkaminas in this is that it's Kabbalah Tosef Shabbos Bal Korcha that she can't daven tefillas chol. The Ashkenazic poskim are of the opinion that even if a yochid, even if a private individual is mekabel Shabbos early, if he didn't daven mincha yet, he can't daven atachainen, he can't daven tefillas chol, because he's not allowed to daven tefillas chol on Shabbos. The Sfaradish poskim hold that that din only applies if the tzibur was mekabel tosefes Shabbos. Then the members of the tzibur can no longer daven tefillas chol. But if a private individual is mekabel tosefes Shabbos, he can still daven tefillas chol. But by the Ashkenazim, we hold not so. So that's a problem. A woman who's in the practice of usually davening mincha, so she benched licht early, she forgot, she didn't daven mincha yet, so what does she do? She can't daven mincha now. So that's a shaila. Rabbi Kiveger on the bottom of the page in the Shulchan Aruch raises quotes from the Prima Godim that he raises shaila. Should the woman daven ma'arev ata kidashta and then say a second Shmona Esrei as tashlumen for missing mincha? Or should I say no? Why should she daven ma'ariv? Let her daven mincha now, but let her not daven atachainen. Let her daven atikidashta. She was mekabel Shabbos already. So let her say atikidashta now as mincha, and then say a second time atikidashta later in the day as ma'ariv for Leil Shabbos. So that's usually when the shaila comes up and people don't have time to research it. It's on the spot. So usually people will come up with this einfall. That the woman who forgot the daven mincha, she should daven the ma'ariv d'ikra shmona esrei for Leil Shabbos as mincha on Erev Shabbos, because you have to leave out atachon until the end of Shema'at Tefillah. So say atakidash, say the Shabbos d'ikra shmona esrei. So unless there's a big shas hatchak, we are usually noig lahachmer like the Bahag. The Bahag was based on a Gemara. The Bahag understood that when a woman benches, the Bahag's own opinion was when the woman benches, when the Balabasta benches licht, it's Kabbalah Tosef Shabbos Bal Korcha for all the members of the family. So nobody can daven mincha then. So that's why the Magen Avraham quotes from the days of the Balei HaTosfos, the practice used to be that the father would go to shul with the sons and they would daven mincha. Then the father would send one of the children home to tell the mother that she can bench licht now. Because they didn't want it to bench licht earlier, because then they wouldn't be able to daven mincha. But as soon as they finished davening mincha in the shul, they would send one of the children home, tell the mother that she should bench licht now, and it'll be a Kabbalah Tosef Shabbos for everybody. Now, we don't follow that chumrah at all. We do follow the chumrah of the Bahag, in a limited way. For the woman who bench licht, we say it's Tosef Shabbos Bal Korcha. And she shouldn't do any malacha now, unless it's a big shas atrak. She has to go to mikvah, she has to go somewhere else, whatever, she has to drive somewhere. So then we're makel against the Bahag. If she was madlika sanderis and she had in mind the farish not to be makabel Shabbos, she makes a tanai. It doesn't mean a tanai like tanai b'nei godim nei ruven. She has in mind she's not makabel Shabbos. So if it's a shas atrak, we're makel on that. So, however, this he cannot be makel. Many women have the practice that whenever they bench licht for yontif, Pesach Shavuos, Sukkos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, whenever they bench licht, they say Shachyana when they bench licht. So that's Beferish in the Gemara. Shachyana on yontif can only be recited on yontif. Lahad B'gnei Shal Shabbos can be recited before Shabbos. You do Hadlokas HaNeris before Shabbos and before yontif. You don't wait till, you can't be Madlik Neris on Shabbos. So that's why all the Rishonim disagree with the Bahag. Why should Hadlokas HaNeris become a Kabbalah Tosef Shabbos Bal Korcha? Hadlokas HaNeris is done on Erev Shabbos. Why should that be Tosef Shabbos Bal Korcha? But to say Shachyana, that the Gemara says, you can't say Shachyana before Yom Tov sets in. So if the woman is saying Shachyana at the time of Hadlokas HaNeris, by definition it means that she was Mekabel Kedushas Yom Kippur then. But all the other Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos. So it doesn't make sense that the woman, that's Rabbi Kivege quotes from Rabbi Yankov Emden, and on his comments on Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Kivege quotes Rabbi Yankov Emden, it doesn't really make sense that the women should say Shachyanu at the time of Hadlokas HaNeris. They're just cheating themselves. The men can also say Shachyanu and Shul. What do we do on Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, we don't say Kiddush Alakos. You don't say Shachyanu Alakos. Everybody, after Kol Nidre, the Chazan says Shachyanu, everybody says Shachyanu and Shul. The Gemara says, strictly speaking, you can do that on Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, and Rosh Hashanah as well. You can say Shachyanu, I'm Rafi LeBashuk, even if you're walking in the street. It doesn't have to be part of the Kiddush. However, the Gemara says, you will enhance the significance of the Shachyanu Bracha. That's called Brichas Hazman, because Shachyanu V'kimanu V'higyanu LaZman HaZeh. The Gemara calls that Bracha. Well, we call the Bracha Shachyanu, the Gemara calls it Zman. Yain Kiddush Ner Havdolah Zman. Zman means the Bracha of Shachyanu. So the Gemara says, you can say Shachyanu anytime you want on Yantar, but you enhance the significance of the reciting of the Bracha if you say it alakos, or say Kiddush. And then at the end of the Kiddush, when you're still holding the cup of wine in your hand, recite the Bracha of Shachyanu. So the women who say Shachyanu when they bench licht on Rosh Hashanah, Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, are just cheating themselves. What do they want to say? They don't want to rely on their husband. They want to say on their own. What mitzvah bo yosebe b'shluchai? If you say amen to the husband, shachyanu, that's bo, that's not shlucho. You're being yotze with shemecha, and it's considered as if you said the shachyanu. There's no reason why you should dafke say your own shachyanu. And more correct is, you shouldn't say shachyanu when she benches licht. You should save the shachyanu till the kiddush. So it'll be enhanced. It'll be a bracha alakos. But if a woman does say Shachyanu when she benches licht, that's the Gemara in Erev and Daf Mem and Beis. The Gemara said Beferish, Shachyanu can only be recited on Yantif. So if you said Shachyanu early when you bench licht, you can't make a Tanai. I don't want to be Mekabel Yom Kippur. A lot of the women, they bench licht at home, then they drive to Shul on Erev Yom Kippur. If they plan to drive to Shul, they cannot say Shachyanu. They say Shachyanu. Otherwise, the bracha would be a bracha of Atol. Can't say Shachyanu on Erev Yom Kippur. You have to say on Yom Kippur. So once she says Shachyanu, she cannot make a tonight that she doesn't want to be Mekabel Dushas Yom Kippur. There is a Gemara in Beitza, Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, where the Gemara talks about the idea, Mutab Shiv Shogigim Velo Yehu Mezidin. The Gemara says, "Kishem shemitzvah loy madava hanishma kach mitzvah shaloy loy madava sheina nishpa." Just like there's a mitzvah hocheach tocheach esam yisecha. See a person doing an avera, so you should stop him. Hocheach ticha, try to help him that he shouldn't do the avera. The person is doing an avera now. We should give him tochach. We should convert the rasha into a tzaddik. But what happens if I know the person? He's not going to listen to me. I can talk myself blue and give him tochacha. He's not going to listen. So now he probably doesn't realize that it's an Avera. But if I'm going to tell him, and I know he's not going to listen because he doesn't like me or whatever, then I'm doing just the opposite of the mitzvah of Tochacha. Now he's a Bal Aver B'Shoigeg. I'm going to give him Tochacha Musa. He's going to continue to do the Aver B'Meizit. So I'm taking up basically a tzaddik. He's doing Averis B'Shoigeg. He doesn't realize it's also. I'm taking a tzaddik and making him into a Rosha. So the Gemara says, Kishem, just like it's a mitzvah, Loi Madova Hanishma, he's supposed to take a Rosha and convert him into a tzaddik kach. So too the mitzvah shalom adavishena nishma. It's a chelik of the same mitzvah. It should try to convert Rishoyim into tzaddikim by giving tochacha. You should not convert the tzaddik into a rasha. If you're going to give him tochacha knowing in advance he's not going to listen, so then you're converting a tzaddik into a rasha. Right now he's doing the aver b'shoigig. And then you're going to give him tochacha. He's going to continue to do the aver b'meizin. So that's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara gives examples. Gemara says a lot of the women, they would bench licht on Erev Shabbos. There would be, they would be eating on Erev Yom Kippur. And there's a din of Sifa Mechol HaLakot. It's supposed to be Mekabel Yom Kippur early. And they would be eating till the last minute. And there wouldn't be any Tosefis Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, if you know these women that they're not going to listen, even if you give Musa, so better is not to give any Musa. So Tosafos says from the Gemara, what do you mean? The women are going to eat during Bein HaShemashes of Leil Yom Kippur. That's not reasonable. So Tosafos says from the Gemara, it would appear that women are going to stop eating before the Shkia. That they understand after Shkia is Bein HaShemashes. But it would appear from the Gemara that there's a minimum amount of time. There is a minimum amount of time that you have to be Moisei Mechol HaLakodesh. Tosis says they admit they can't figure out how many minutes that is, but it would appear from the Gemara there's a minimum amount of time. And the women used to eat into that Zman of Tosefes Yom Kippur. They wouldn't eat in Bein HaShemashes, that they know, after the Shkia is Bein HaShemashes ready. Safigam Safik Laila, but they would eat into. So how much is that amount of time? Tosis says they can't figure it out. So the Poskim quote the Rabbeinu Peretz on Gemara Beitza, Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. Now we have the Rabbeinu Peretz. Acharonim quoted it from manuscript. Now they sell it. Rabbeinu Peretz is printed. Rabbeinu Peretz writes, he thinks that it's 30 minutes. Like Samach al-Mincha. The Mishnah has it in Samach al-Mincha. You're not allowed to take a haircut. Samach is my Kriyashma. Half an hour before is my Kriyashma. You're not allowed to get involved. You're not allowed to eat and so on. Samach is always a half an hour before. That's what the Rabbeinu Peretz says, that you should always be Moisei Mechol HaLakodesh 30 minutes before Bein HaShemashes. Bein HaShemashes begins at Shkia. The Vilna Gaon and the Baal HaTanya both disagree what they quote in the name of the Rabbeinu Tam. They quote from the Rabbeinu Tam that for the first 50 minutes or so after the Shkia, it's Vadayom. The Vilna Gaon says, how is that possible? Hachush Makrish. It's not true. 50 minutes after the Shkia, you can see all the stars all over the place. It's way after Tzeisa Kochom already. But that's a Peladika Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says it's Vadayom for the amount of time of 3 1/4 mil. And then the next block of time, a Shlosha Rivei mil, 3/4 mil, that's a Shala, how much is a mil? So mil is a distance. Alpai Mama is a mil. Mil is a distance, but the average person who would be walking on a highway, so a mil, the amount of time that it paid would take an Adam Beinoni to walk a mil out by Mama would be a certain amount of time. So that's a mil is 22 and a half minutes. Mishnah Berurah always says 18 minutes. It's a cheshbon. Why says 18 minutes? So Rav Soloveitchik said as a child, he remembers that they always used to bench licht 30 minutes before the Shkia, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontav, except for Yom Kippur, they used to bench licht 60 minutes before. There was Tosefes Shabbos. 60 minutes before. And as a child, he was always very curious to know what the minhagim are based on, what all the practices are based on. So he asked, why is it twice as long? There's man of Tosefes on Erev Yom Kippur, 60 minutes instead of 30 minutes. So they explained to him, 30 minutes you have Tosefes for Malacha and Yom Kippur, and 30 minutes Tosefes for Inuyim, the Hamisha Inuyim, Achilu Shtira, and so on. He said, as a child, he didn't understand what that means. It's one Kedusha Sayyim, that's Mechayiv and Issa Malocha, And then he knew him. So what do you mean? You need 30 minutes for this and 30 minutes for that. If 30 minutes is samach li Yom Kippur, so the 30 minutes is all the lakan lakan. You and Moshe Mechalaka didn't understand why it should be 60 minutes. Half an hour to Sefer for you know him, half an hour to Sefer for Malocha. It didn't make any sense to him. And he said, over in this connection, there's a Magen Mishnah comments on the Rambam. The Rambam's opinion is, the Rambam is against the Gemara, Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tes, the Gemara of the Feirish, that the Din HaMasifim Echol Ola Kodesh applies to Shabbos, to Yontif, and to Yom Kippur as well, to all the Yomim Mikudoshim. The Rambam only quotes by Yom Kippur. On Shabbos and Yontif, he never quotes the Din HaMasifim. So the Magen Mishnah says, he thinks, according to the Rambam, Masifim Echol Ola Kodesh only applies to Yom Kippur, to Inuyim. It doesn't apply to Malacha on Yom Kippur. You only have to be Moshe Mechol Ola Kodesh for the Chamisha Inuim. Chiyushtia, Sicha, Nilsa Sano, Tashav Shamita, and so on, the Inuim. It doesn't apply to Malacha. If it would apply to Malacha on Yom Kippur, then it should apply to Malacha on every Shabbos and Yom Tov as well. He thinks it only applies to Inuim. That's what Rav Soloveitchik thought. That didn't make sense. How can you have Tosefes Yom Kippurim only with respect to Inuim, not with respect to Malacha? It's one Kedusha Sayyam. So you found later the Makevis HaMishnah doesn't like that Magen Mishnah. He thinks that it doesn't make sense. When Rav Soloveitchik gave Shema many different Masichtas, every so often there was a problematic Rambam. So the Makevis HaMishnah always gives the most Pashat Pshat in the Rambam. When there's a problem, he always gives the most without fancy Pilpulim. The Lech HaMishnah will often ask Akasha and say, the Rama, where did the Rama get this from? It's against the Gemara. So the Lech HaMishnah will give a whole fantastic opinion. The Rama was bothered with Tosis Kasha, and that's why he did this and that and the other thing, and therefore he came up with a wild shot. Merkevus HaMishnah always has something very flat, very bland, very simple, not gagal gag, not something complicated like that. So the Merkevus HaMishnah has like that over here. That he doesn't think the Magen Mishnah is right. You cannot split between Kedushas HaYom of Yom Kippur with respect to Malacha and Kedushas HaYom of Yom Kippur with respect to Inuim. That's one Kedushas HaYom. We welcome Yom Kippur by reciting Kol Nidre. Why is that the way to welcome Yom Kippur? What does Kol Nidre have to do with Yom Kippur? So in a lot of the Nusach Svard, Chassidish Machzorim, they have passage from the Zohar that people recite in connection with Kol Nidre, that just like there's an instant, this Torah Shebal Peh has a whole institution of Hatoras Nedorim. When the father or the husband is Mefer the Nedorim, whereas Hafor is only cancels an Edom Ikala Habo. It's not Oikah the Nedom Eikorai. So let's say the woman already violated the nether, and she deserves to get malchus. The Edom warned her they're going to give her malchus, and then the father or the husband is made for the nether. It's not oikah the nether mikra, just mikan l'habo. It's not binding anymore. But if you go to a hatoras bezin is matter the nether. Chacham is oikah nether meikor. It comes out the chacham paskins. The nether was a nether b'toes. And he said mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. It was always mutter. And even though the person deserved malchus because he. The witnesses warned them, don't eat the cookies, don't eat the potato chips, you violate your nether, we're going to give you a malchus. So once they're at the nether, you can't give them any malchus, because chacham ekra nether meikor. So the Zohar says, just like the Torah Shebal Peh has such a secret, in Chumash you don't have such a din. HaTorah Sendorim, the Mishnah says, the last Mishnah in the first perek in Chagiga says, Hetan Adorim, Parchim Boavir, it's transmitted orally from generation to generation. There is no mocker in the Chumash for HaTorah Nedorim. There's no way to read in between the lines. You have HaFarah. The Baal, or the father, is Mefer the Nedorim. So Mikan al Habo, he undoes it. But it can't be Chocham, or the father, or the husband, cannot be Oikar Saneda Meikara. But the Chocham is Oikar Meikara. So that's what the Zohar puts together, that just like the Torah Shebal Peh taught us the secret that there's a possibility to be oikah and neder meikorai, so too if a person does real tshuva, he can be oikah all the averis meikorai, is considered as if he never did the averis. As if the averis that he did were done b'shoigeg. The Gemara says if he does tshuva meyira, zidonos, the averis that he did, b'meis, nasan lok shkogas. And if he does tshuva me'ava, is done in sazan lo kizchuyas. It's zoikad aber meikor. So that's the explanation. Mesillas Yesharim quotes the Zohar in his sefer in Mesillas Yesharim, and he said that's the connection between Kol Nidre in the beginning of Yom Kippur, that just like Hatoras and Dor Mizoikad the Nedem Eikorai, that's a secret of the Torah Shabbal Peh and Torah Shabbachsav never appears. So too, Yom Tshuva and Yom Kippur can be Oikah the Averis Meikor. Rav Soloveitchik had a different suggestion, perhaps, to explain why we usher in Yom Kippur with HaTorah Nedarim. So he said, because the whole Koyach of Mechilas HaOven on Yom Kippur is because we are in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki b'yom hazeh chapelechem tarach tzimekoch hatasechem lifnei Hashem. Question, how do you read the Pasuk? You put chatasechem kama lefnei Hashem titoru, or you say chatasechem lefnei Hashem. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. Hashem is so lifnei miyat mitarim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is mitaras, because Rabbi Akiva read the pasuk. Ki b'yom hazeh chapelchem tarachem koch chatasechem lifnei Hashem. Hakadosh Baruch Hu will forgive our averus because we are in His presence. On Yom Kippur we are especially in the presence of the Shechina, and that's what's mitaher us. So the way to be Moisim Michael HaKadosh is to enter into the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu earlier. How can you do that? How can you bring the Shechina to the Beis Medrash? The Shechina is going to come at Laila, at Leil Yom Kippur. How can we force the Shechina to come? So the Gemara comments on the Pasuk, Elikim Nitzah Bat Askel, that's Taka the Shir Shal Yom for Tuesday. Elikim Nitzah Bat Askel, whenever there's an honest-to-goodness bezin, the Shechina will be present to help the Dayanim that they shouldn't make a mistake in Pesach. It's very difficult to pasken on someone that he's a Rosha, or he's high of money. It's a serious thing. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, Elikim Nitzah Bat Askel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be there to help the Dayanim that they shouldn't make a mistake in Pesach. So Rav Soloveitchik suggests that maybe we want to be Mekabel Tosefes Yom HaKippurim earlier. So how do you bring the Shechina? The whole essence of Yom Kippur is that we are Lifnei Hashem. How can we cause that status of Lifnei Hashem? So you can have a holding Torah. You're going to have people cursing at each other. You stole my money. You owe me money. And cursing at the Dayanim. And Dayanim are screaming. Everybody scream. Or you can have a Hatoras Nedarim. Hatoras Nedarim is also you need a Bezin. And when you have a, when you convene a Bezin, it's going to be a Lekib Nitzah Badaskel. That was Rav Soloveitchik's suggestion. Maybe you convene a bezin for HaTorah Nedarim, and that's the way to force the Shechina to come, and that's how you do Tosefes Yom Kippur. Because the whole Laila of Yom Kippur, that it's Yom Ketz Mechila Slicha Yisrael, because we are in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And some historians have a different suggestion. They say that there used to be a parade, just like Lubavitch has a parade every year on Lag BaOmer, to support Kabbalah, to support Limud HaZohar. So too, Yom Kippur was always, there was always a big parade in Alexandria, in Egypt, in the days of the Rishonim, when there were a lot of Karaim who didn't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Orthodox Jews, the Rabbinic Jews who did follow the Torah Shebaal Peh, they'll make a big parade on Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is the day on which the Torah Shebaal Peh was given. That's what the Beis HaLevi has this in one of his drushes, and Shlomo Levilna has the same in one of his svarim. What do you need 2 days to celebrate Yom Kabbalah HaTorah? We celebrate on Shavuos, Yom Zman Matan Torah Seinu, and on Yom Kippur also, Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luch HaShnia, says Yom Kabbalah HaTorah. What do you need two Yomim Tovim to celebrate Kabbalah HaTorah? So they both explain, but the Beis HaLevi explains it by Harchova. Shavuos was a celebration of giving of Torah Shebichsav, and Yom Kippur is a celebration of giving Torah Shebaal Peh. Why do you need to? Because originally HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't going to allow any of a Loshon to be Sholeit on Bnei Yisrael. On the occasion of Maimon HaSin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu planned the Jewish people would be Le'ela, Le'ela. No of a Loshon will ever be Sholeit on us. But then Bnei Yisrael sinned with the Chet HaEgel. So at that time, the Rabbanu Shlomo is going to say that we should be tachas shlitas hanochrim. We should suffer under the nochrim. And the nochrim will be able to claim, that's what the Catholics have been claiming for centuries. So the Medrash says, the Medrash predicts this, the nochrim will complain that they are the real Aman Ivcha. They claim that from that day on that the Jews rejected Osa Huish. We didn't accept him as a deity. So we lost our status as the Aman Ivcha, and they are now the Aman Ivcha. Now the Aman Ivcha has to have the Torah. So they have the Torah, but they only have the Torah Shebichsav. They don't have the Torah Shebal Peh. That's the Pasuk, Lo'achachachem l'chol goy, mishpotem al yidom. The Torah Shebal Peh was only given to Bnei Yisrael. Now it's a problem. The Torah Shebal Peh is printed. The Mishnayos and the Gemara, everything is printed. So for many years, the Catholics didn't know how to read the Torah Shebal Peh, but they have a standing order. Whenever there's another set of Mishnayos or Gemaras put out by Art Scroll, so they order copies. Art Scroll has no braver, but they're not going to sell it to them. They'll go to the store and they'll get it in the store. So we have revealed we weren't supposed to. There's nothing wrong with teaching Torah Shebichsav to the Umas Olam. Moshe Rabbeinu instructed Yeshua ben Nun when he crosses over the Yarden and goes into Eretz Yisrael, they should write the whole Kol HaTorah Kula Bayer Heita B'Shivim Loshen to translate it, that the Umas Olam, the Nochrim and Eretz Yisrael should see what the Torah Shebichsav is all about. But the Torah Shebal Peh, we're not supposed to teach them. We're not supposed to teach them the Torah Shebal Peh. So that's what Yom Kippur is, a day on which we celebrate Kabbalah's Torah Shebal Peh. Because after the Chet HaEgel, then the Rabbanu Shalom said that he will allow the Umas Olam to be shoilet on the Jews because we deserve the punishment. But in order that we should have something unique, that we should be able to insist to claim that we are still the Aman Ivcha, so he split, he made Torah Shebal Peh. Originally, the whole plan, that's the Beis HaLevi, has a long arichas. The original plan was there isn't going to be any need for any Torah Shebal Peh. Everything will be Torah Shebichsav. They would be able to find everything by looking into the Luchas. But after the Chet HaEgel, so that was no longer the case. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give a Torah Shebal Peh, that Bnei Yisrael should have something unique, that we should be able to demonstrate that we are special. So since the Torah Shebal Peh was given on Yom Kippur, as Rav Soloveitchik used to say, there's a Rashi on Parshas Achrei Mois. Rashi quotes a Gemara and Yuma. All the psukim by the Seder Avoid on Yom Kippur and that appear in Parshas Achrei Mois, everything is written on a Seder, except for a few psukim are out of order. The psukim are out of order, and we don't follow the way it's described in the Chumash. We follow the Torah Shebal Peh. Rav Soloveitchik said that's in order, it's only on Avodas Yom Kippurim you have psukim out of order to demonstrate that if you don't follow the Torah Shebal Peh, you're going to be makor of the karbonis incorrectly. The correct way to do the Kabbalah is to follow the Torah Shebal Peh, not to follow the Torah Shebichsav. And the reason why it's punked the Avodas Yom Kippur, because it was on Yom Kippur that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the plans and he decided he's going to have to give a Torah Shebal Peh to maintain the uniqueness of the Jewish people. So those are they documented it, that in the days of the Rishonim, they used to have a parade every single year in Alexandria, that the rabbinic Jews, those who followed the Torah Shebal Peh, would always participate in the parade to emphasize that we subscribe to the Torah Shebal Peh. So that's perhaps the reason, that's what the history books suggest. That's perhaps the reason why we start the day off with Kol Nidre, because Kol Nidre, the Rambam writes in the Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos, there are five different sections to the Torah Shebal Peh. So we have Halachas LeMoshe MiSinai, where there's no mocker at all, there's no way to read it in between the lines. Then you have Yud Gimel Midah Shatara Nidreshes Bam, how to read in between the lines. And then you have Pirushim Mahamukubadim L'Moshe Misin. Then you have traditions that certain expressions have certain connotations. So the Mishnah says, Hetan Nidorim, the Mishnah in the end of the first parak in Chagiga, says, Hataras Nidorim Ayidei Bezin, the husband of the father could be Mefer, that's in Chumash. We don't do that. We don't practice Hafar today. We tell a woman who took the net to go to the bezin and go for a hataras nedarim. Hataras nedarim is pure Torah Shebal Peh. This ein lahem ameshi yismochu. Hetan nedarim porchem ba'avir. It's transmitted orally from generation to generation. The sound waves float in the air. Porchem ba'avir. Ein lahem ameshi yismochu. There's no way to read the psukim. Read it into the psukim. It's pure Torah Shebal Peh, like halacha Moshe MiSinai. So that's what the history books suggest. Maybe we start the day off with the HaTorah Nedarim to demonstrate that we subscribe to the Torah Shabbat, and that's what Yom Kippur is all about. Yom Kippur is the second holiday of Kabbalah HaTorah. Shavuos is the holiday of Kabbalah HaTorah Shebichsav. And Yom Kippur is the holiday of Kabbalah Torah Shabbat Peh, because it was only after the Chet HaEgel, and Rabbi Shalom decided to punish Bnei Yisrael that the Masalim will have Shlita on us, but they're going to have Shlita on the Torah also. They're going to say that they're the Yaman Ifcha, which they have been claiming for centuries. So that's why he had to give us the Torah Shabbat Peh. So these are several suggestions what the Kol Nidre is all about, why we recite Kol Nidre at that time. Of course, the Yikar Mitzvah Yom Kippur, everybody knows, is to fast the Tonis, and there are always people who are a bit sakana if they're not so pashut that everybody can fast. There's a sefer called Issa V'Heter Ha'Oruch, the Rosh HaTevis, Alevav Hei, Issa V'Heter Ha'Oruch, by the Rabbeinu Yoina. I have a reprint of an old European copy of Issa V'Heter, and on the title page it has a mistake. It says the Issa V'Heter Ha'Oruch was, it's quoted on every page in Yerideya. The Ramah, they always quote the Issa V'Heter. So by mistake, they identified the author as the Rabbeinu Yonah Girundi, who was the Mechutna of the Ramban. Their children were married together, Rabbeinu Yonah HaSfardi. That's a mistake. It's Rabbeinu Yonah Ashkenazi. He never quotes any Sfardim in this. He didn't know any Sfardim. He was an Ashkenazi. He only quotes Rashi and Tosfos. So he has Hilchas Trefus, Hilchas Basa B'cholab, Hilchas Malicha, Hilchas Taruah. It has a lot of Yerideya there. A lot of Yerideya is based on the Issa V'Heter. Every page, every other page in Yerideya, they quote the Issa V'Heter. So he has one big chapter about Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh, so he quotes one of the Balei HaTosfos, not the Riyah, the Rabbi Natam, not one of the famous Balei HaTosfos. Balei HaTosfos, I never heard of the person. But one of the Balei HaTosfos was deathly sick on Yom Kippur, on Erev Yom Kippur. And the doctor said he's going to die. There's a far-out chance that maybe if he'll eat food, maybe he will survive. But probably not. Probably even if he'll eat the food, he probably will die anyway. So he paskened on his own. They were all telling him, you have to eat on Yom Kippur. It's a pikuach nefesh. So he decided not to listen. He said, Ein sofik motzi midei vadai, since he's vadai deathly sick. And the doctors say there's a far-out chance that if he eats, he may survive, but he probably will not. So he paskened on his own. He's not allowed to eat. And lo and behold, he dropped dead. He died on Yom Kippur. So all the Balei HaTosfos said he was mischai ben afsho. It was his own foolish fault. He should have eaten on Yom Kippur. The Gemara says, whenever there's a sofik pikuach nefesh, you don't say sveika deraisa l'chumre, you let him die. Misofik a sofik pikuach nefesh, you have to be mechal Shabbos. And you have to eat on Yom Kippur and so on. Even if it's a sfek sveke, even if the roiv is, the likelihood is he's going to die even if he is Mechal Shabbat, even if he does eat the food on Yom Kippur. Or the likelihood is going to survive even if he doesn't eat any food on Yom Kippur. Even though the odds are, the roiv is that it's you're wasting your time being Mechal Shabbat or eating, still the din is lahocha b'piloch nefash achar ha'roiv. Unless it's so far-fetched, it's such a far-fetched chashash that no normal person in his right mind would be worried about that. So then we say, Tun v'hu d'noki. He doesn't know what he's talking about, and we don't allow him to be Mechal Shabbos. We don't allow him to eat on Yom Kippur. But whenever it's a far-fetched chashash, that a significant percentage of the population would think like that. They would think, you better eat on Yom Kippur, you may die. There is such a chance he may die. Let's say a lot of times 1% of the people will be concerned. Okay, but it's so much less. One out of a echad min elaf alfi alafim. That's ridiculous. That's how Abraham Moshe has a tshuva. He quotes several of the major poskim from earlier generations that whenever the suffix sakana, so. Whenever this is Hafik Sakana, that's nowhere near 50-50. Nowhere near. The odds are that you don't need the Chilul Shabbos, or the odds are that you don't have to eat on Yom Kippur, but there's a far-out chance that maybe by violating Yom Kippur, by violating Shabbos, by eating chametz, that may save your life. So then, also the Gemara says, it's Decha Shabbos, it's Decha Kol HaTorah Kula. So that depends on the patient. If the patient is nervous and he thinks that it may save his life, so then the din is that it's mutter. If he personally is not nervous, he's not worried about it, then it's not called a say, unless it's very close to 50-50. But if it's nowhere near 50-50, so then it all depends on whether the patient himself is nervous or not. We once explained, the Gemara says in Yevamos, that during the Midbar, only Shevet Levi, it says in V'zos HaBracha, Obrischa Yintzoru, Moshe Rabbeinu gives a bracha to Shevet Levi because they observed bris milah all the 40 years in the Midbar. But Esau didn't observe it. The weather conditions were such that it wasn't so healthy to perform a bris milah. There was a concern they may not recover. So all the other shvatim were afraid, a sofik sakana, so they didn't fulfill bris milah the whole 40 years that they were in the Midbar. When they came to Eretz Yisrael and they came to Gilgal, then they did a national bris milah for all those who never had all the 40 years in the Midbar, and that was taken care of. And Shevet Levi always did the bris milah, they were not concerned. So the Chasam Sofer in Etshuva asked the question, Moshe Rabbeinu was an Orthodox rabbi. Why did he allow the other Shvatim not to perform bris milah? The answer is no, but the weather conditions are such that it's a little dangerous. He should have put his foot down. He should not have allowed Shevet Levi to perform bris milah. How does he allow them? He allows them not to do bris milah. He allows the others that they may do bris milah. Who's doing the right thing? Is it a suffix sakana or not? So the answer is the suffix sakana was nowhere near 50-50. And that's where Chaim Moshe quotes from Major Poskim. In such a situation where there's a suffix sakana nowhere near 50-50, it depends on the patient, on the chole. Here, the patient is 8 days old. So it's determined by the parents. So if the parents are nervous and they're concerned, they're afraid to do the bismillah, then for that family, it's called a suffix sakana. But Shevet Levi were not so nervous. They had more bitachon. So because they personally were not nervous, so for them it's not called the suffix sakana. I remember during the Gulf War, so there was a chartered flight from America. So boys from the yeshiva and girls from the Stern College went to give chizuk to all the Jewish community in Eretz Yisrael. So thousands of people were leaving Eretz Yisrael, going back to America, students going back to England, to Europe, and going back to America. And here there was a flight full of people from America going to Eretz Yisrael. So who's right? Is there a suffix sakana? How can the people from America go into the middle of the sakana? The answer is there was no suffix sakana. I think after the whole Gulf War was over, I think only one Jew died because he didn't know how to put the gas mask on, so he choked himself. Accidentally, he choked to death because he didn't know how to put on the gas mask. But nobody, I don't think anybody lost their lives because of the shelling that they did. So that's the halacha. Whenever there's a suffix sakana, that's nowhere near 50-50. It was nowhere near 50-50. So it depends. For those who are nervous, it's called the suffix sakana. So they did right to leave Eretz Yisrael. For those who are not nervous, it's not a suffix sakana. So they can move to Eretz Yisrael. I remember I went on that plane with the group, and some of my children also went. I remember when the taxi cab drivers saw that we speak English, and they asked, it was on the radio, that a group is coming from America to give chizuk. So when the cab drivers would ask us, were we from the group? He said, yeah. They said, they're not going to charge us for the trip. We were nice enough to come there. So they thought as if we know some secrets that they don't know. So they were so appreciative they wouldn't charge us for the trip. Yeah. So the Issa Hetti quotes, all of the Bali Atosis were very upset about this Talmud Chochem who paskened for himself that he should not eat on Yom Kippur, and he died. And he said he was Mischai Ben Amsha. That's considered as if he committed suicide. That's Shaloi Kedin. You're not allowed to be Machmer. If you're in a situation with a suffix Sakana, it is not a Midas Chasidus to be Machmer not to eat. I live in Washington Heights, so the president of the Breuer Kehillah for many years used to be Dr. Muller. That was Rabbi Yosef Weiss's father-in-law. So Dr. Muller would make house calls in Aseres Meitshuva. I remember I once was sick in Aseres Meitshuva, so I had to go to Dr. Muller. So he asked me, where do you daven? After he checked me, he said, where do you daven? I said, I'm going to daven. I plan to daven in the Aguda Minyan. He says, if I were you, I would daven at home. The Aguda Minyan is very crowded. It's a small room, and you're going to faint, and the good Samaritan is going to give you a drink of water. You have no heter to drink water. You're not a chayla. You're not a chayla mesukan. If I were you, I would daven at home. So I did daven at home. I did daven at home. And he used to make house calls to visit the older people who had to eat. So some of them followed Rabbi Breuer, some of them followed Rabbi Schwab. So each one he would ask the shayla, and he would visit them or call them on the phone. Some he visited, some called on the phone. He said, I just spoke to Rabbi Schwab. He said, you are mechuyev to eat. He said, I just spoke to Rabbi Breuer, you are mechuyev to eat. And we'd always say the lashon, just like it's a mitzvah for the healthy people to fast on Yom Kippur, so it's a mitzvah for the people who are not up to it, that they should eat on Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to be machmer on yourself, to put your life b'sakana. That's a violation of suicide. We have a din in the Gemara, the last perek in Yuma, when a person has to eat treif of food. On Yom Kippur, all the food is an issa. When a person has to eat the treif of food to save his life, that's in the concentration camps. They were eating the velas of treifas there. The food was not kosher, but they had no choice. It was a miracle that those who survived, survived. There was hardly any nutrition. They were given the bare minimum of nutrition. So whenever you have to violate an issa in order to save your life, so the Gemara has a klal, machila masa hakal hakal tchila. You try to violate the lesser of the two evils. So let's say there's chazer and then there's tevel. So tevel, whoever eats tevel is misa b'dei shemayim. Whoever eats chazer is only malchus. So tevel is mochomer than chazer. So you should, if you can save your life by eating the chazer, so don't eat the tevel. Or chveis, something has koris and something has misa b'dei shemayim. So koris is mochomer than misa b'dei shemayim. You always have to figure out which is the lesser of the two evils. So in Shulchan Aruch they say, if a person has to eat another, otherwise they're going to die. But he doesn't have to eat the whole meal now. If you eat chatzi shir, less than the full shir, there's a machlokes in the Gemara Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. So we pass on Rabbi Yochanan chatzi shir osam and atur. It's an isa deraisa, but there's no koris. If you eat a shir shalem, it's an isa deraisa, and there's an isa koris for eating on Yom Kippur. But if you eat the chatzi shir, there's an issa deraisa without koris. So if you eat a chatzi shir and you wait a few minutes and you eat another chatzi shir, it's not mitzdarif. If you don't eat the two chatzoi shir, toch kedei achilas pras, not mitzdarif yachad. So you still be violating an issa deraisa. The only time you're allowed to eat a chatzi shir is not heter gom. Chatzi shir is an issa deraisa. It's only muta when there's a chashash sofik sakona. Asvek svek abe sakona is deichem. So if you can save your life by having pachas mikushir, eat the less than a shir and wait a while, eat less than a shir, wait a while. You can eat a ton of food on Yom Kippur, but it'll only be an aveira of a chatzi shir. So if you can save your life by eating only chatzi shir, why violate the eating on Yom Kippur with the shir shalom? So eat pachas mikushir, that's what you're doing. So Rav Soloveitchik always used to say, and he printed this in the hesped that he wrote for his father, that's called Isha Halacha. His father was an Isha Halacha. There used to be a conservative rabbi here in the neighborhood who published a whole essay. The Rabbi Soloveitchik wrote a whole essay, Isha Halacha, but it doesn't correspond to him. He's not the Isha Halacha. He has a lot of Kabbalah, a lot of Hasidus. Yeah, Isha Halacha was a description of his father. It's not a description of himself. He was not like the Isha Halacha. So Rav Soloveitchik has there in the Isha Halacha that when his father, Moshe Soloveitchik, took his first rabbinical position in Europe, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik made him promise with the tkias kaf, with the shake of the hands, that if he has a chayla mesukan on Yom Kippur, he will not insist that he should eat pachas mikashir. He should eat regular meals. Even though the Mishnah Brura paskin not so, but the Shulchan Aruch says like the Magen Mishnah, if you have a chayla she'esh bo sakana, you give him cold tzarka, you give him a full regular meal. You don't just say, "Will this save his life?" He's not gonna die if he doesn't have a second piece of a full meal. But whatever you give him, whatever you would give him on a normal day, you give him on Yom Kippur. That's called cold tzarachov. So Rab Chaim used to paskin like that. And Rab Chaim Soloveitchik made his son Rab Moshe Soloveitchik promise with the Tkias Kaf when he's going into the Rabbanis, he'll also paskin like that. If the person is a Chayla Mesukan, if the person is healthy, but we're afraid if he's going to fast on Yom Kippur, it can have a detrimental effect on him. We're afraid he's going to become a chayla. Right now he's healthy. We're afraid he's going to become sick. So then we say, machila masa kala kal tchila, let him eat pachas mikishir. Because if there's no chashash sakon, he's not allowed to eat pachas mikishir either. There is a chashash sakon, but he's not yet in the sakon. We want him to eat to prevent him from falling into a sakon. Then you recommend he should eat pachas mikishir. But if the fellow is deathly sick already, and he's taking chemotherapy, and he has to, part of the chemotherapy is he has to eat regular meals in order that the chemotherapy shouldn't kill him. So he's in the process of pulling himself out of the status of a chayla mesukan. So then the Mishnah Berurah also says like that, that people skip that line, Mishnah Berurah. That was the psak hamakot, that wasn't Rav Soloveitchik. Always said it was a psak of Rav Chaim. And Rav Elvela Soloveitchik and his safe under Rav Moshe writes, it's his father's psak. It's not his father's psak. That was the psak hamakubal and valojin. But in the days of Rav Chaim Valojina, not Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Kook learned in Valojin. He was not so close to Rav Chaim. He was very close to the Netziv. He also paskan like that because he heard it from the Netziv, and the Netziv heard it. The Netziv, when he came to the yeshiva before his bar mitzvah, came to learn in Valojin. Rav Chaim Valojina was no longer alive, but the Nachlas David was still a Nachlas David on Baba Kama, Baba Mitzvah. He was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Valojina. The Netziv says he heard from Nachlas David that was the psak of Rav Chaim Valojina, that whenever a person is already a chayla mesukan and he's trying to pull his way out of the sakana, then we follow the Magen Mishnah who says like that in Rambam, you do kol tzarachav. Let's say you're doing a surgery to a person on Shabbat. He's deathly sick. He needs surgery. So you only do the amount of the surgery that's necessary to keep him alive. You don't sew him up afterwards. You just stitch him up a little bit. No, you do whatever you would do on a weekday. Once he's a chayla mesukan, so you do whatever you would do on a weekday. Shabbos is kachol, and Yom Kippur is kachol. You can eat regularly. One balabas once told me his first wife passed away, and he had already remarried. So he was telling me that when his first wife was deathly sick at the end of her life, so the Rabbanim had to determine what she's going to do on Yom Kippur. So the Rabbanim asked the doctor who was treating her, if she would fast on Yom Kippur, will she die? So they said, no, the doctor said she will not die. So they made a fast on Yom Kippur. He said she clearly died months earlier than she would have otherwise died. The doctors didn't understand what the question was. The question wasn't, is she going to die on the spot? The doctor thought that the rabbis are asking, is she going to drop dead on Yom Kippur? He said, no, she's not going to die on Yom Kippur if she fasts. But she clearly died months in advance because she wasn't strong enough. And by fasting a whole day, it made her even weaker. And that caused her sickness that she had for months and for years, caused it to kill her earlier than otherwise. If a person is, let's say, young and healthy, 20 years old, young and healthy, but the doctors tell him, if you're going to fast on Yom Kippur, you will not live to 120. You will die a day before your birthday. That's pikuach nefesh. If there's such a possibility that by fasting on Yom Kippur, you're going to die an hour earlier than otherwise, that's called pikuach nefesh. Chayisha is also called pikuach nefesh. We fast on Yom Kippur because there isn't even a svek sveke that fasting is going to cause kitzur chayim. But if there is, that's called pikuach nefesh. It's decha kol ha-Torah kulam. One of the chamisha inuyim is nilas ha-sandal. So the Gemara has a machlokes regarding chalitza. Does the chalitza shoe, when you do chalitza, you can't just take off the socks, or if he's wearing kilts, the Scots, the Irish, whatever, they wear kilts. Kilts don't protect the feet. So that's a machlekes in the Gemara in Perek Mitzvah's chalitza. Does chalitza shoe have to be made from leather, or is it good as long as it's megan, as long as it, let's say sneakers, protect the foot, but it's not made from leather. So that's a machlekes. So most Rishon in Paskin that it has to be made from leather, that's based on the Pasuk in Yecheskel. Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Navi describes the way the Rabbanu Shel Olam took the Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. It was like delivering a baby. And when the baby is born, so you wash off the baby and smear him with oil, and then you put on a pamper, then you put on, when the baby is old enough to walk a little bit, so you put on little shichalach, you put on little baby shoes. So the Pasuk says in Yecheskel, Be'en Rolech Tochash, I treated the Jewish people, Yitzias Mitzrayim, as like the delivering of the baby. And then the Rabban Shalom washed us off, and he smeared oil and everything, and he put on leather shoes. Tachash was an animal, a kosher animal that existed in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara said the animal doesn't exist anymore. Oris techoshim, batzei shitim. They used oris, the hides of the tachash, to protect everything in the Mishkan that it shouldn't rain in. The leather protected it from the rain. So we learn out from that pasuk that Na'al needs tachash. Na'al needs or. It has to be made from leather. The Balamor doesn't paskin like that, Balamor and Yibamis, but most of the Rishonim assume that's how we paskin. You can only do chalitza with a leather shoe. If it's a strong sneaker or some other material, it's not called Na'al. So the same thing by Nilas HaSandal, it's only prohibited on Yom Kippur if it's a leather shoe. If it's not made from leather, so in Shulchan Aruch it says mutter. But you look in the Rambam, all of the Achronim point, you look in the Rambam says you should be margish koshi ha'aretz. Even though the shoe is not made from leather, the Rambam is machmir, that if it protects your foot, it does such a good job that you don't feel the koshi ha'aretz. So then also you shouldn't wear such a shoe. That's what Rav Soloveitchik always said. Even if you have sneakers, you should get sneakers that don't have any arches. Because if you want to have with arches, then you're not margish koshi ha'aretz. And he thought that it's kedai to be machmir for this Rambam. Many achrayim say, yeah, forget about the Rambam, it's against the Gemara. You don't have to be machmir. So Rav Soloveitchik and many others recommend you should be machmir. They quote from the Vilna Gaon that he said there are the Rambam, and a few summary shanim hold that not only achilas shtiyos is a deraisa on Yom Kippur, all the hamisha inuim. That's a big machlokes. There's only kares on achilas shtiyos. There's no kares on mechitza sicha. Nilas asadno tashma shamita. There's no kares. So this is what led the Rabbi Natam to believe that all the other inuim, mechitza sicha, nilas asadno tashma shamita, is only made the rabbanon. How can it be that all the hamisha inuim, they're all deraisa, and there's only kares on achilas shtiyos? There's no kares on the other inuim. Rabbi Natan is led to believe that the other Inuim is only an Asmachta Midrabban. But the Rambam is Mashmanatso. And the Rambam would appear that all the Chaimisha Inuim are all their Isa. So that's what they quote from the Vilna Gaon, that if it's Takashaila on a level of their Isa, not Stamadin the Rabban. So maybe it should be Machmer like that Rambam, that it's not enough if the shoes are not made from leather. Maybe even if it's sneakers, but it has arches. Maybe also you should be choshish for them. The pasuk says lifnei Hashem titaru, and there are different ways to read the pasuk. Ki b'yom hazeh chapelachem tarescha mikol chatesechem lifnei Hashem. Rabbi Kiva says Hashem Yisrael lifnei mi atem mitaharim. We are becoming tohor in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lifnei Hashem titaru. We will, the averus will be forgiven because we are in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's how Rabbi Akiva says in the Mishnah. Another Tana says in the Mishnah, Yom Kippur is only mechaper and averus shebin adam lamokim. It's not mechaper and averus shebin adam lachavero, unless tzorch sheifai says chavero, if I apologize to the other person. But if I didn't apologize, Yom Kippur is only mechaper, akol avenesechem lifnei Hashem, only averus shebin adam lamokim. That's how he reads it. It's not mechaper. Then Rabbi Kiva says in the Mishnah, Mikve Yisrael Hashem, Ma mikve metaris hatmeim, Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu metaris Yisrael. What did he gain by saying that Yom Kippur is mechaper tshuva, Yom Kippur is mechaper like a mikve? What is added with the mushel from the mikve? So Absalvesha used to say in the name of the European Darshanim, it wasn't his suggestion. He says, many Darshanim in Europe used to say, just like a mikveh, you can't dip in one hand and another hand and one leg and another leg, one at a time. You have to have mayim shel kol gufo elu behem bevasachas. The whole body has to be submerged under the surface of the water at one time. You cannot have tahara lachatzoin. So that's why that's how the Darshanim from Europe used to interpret that Mishnah. Aver Shemran Machaveirai. If you weren't Meratzes Chaver, any Yom Kippur Mechaper on anything. Yom Kippur is not even Mechaper on the Aver Shemranam Lamokam. If you didn't ask Mechila, if you weren't Mefais Chaver, it's either yes Mechaper or not Mechaper. It's not, there's no Tahara Lachatzoin. Yom Kippur is like a mikveh. Either it's mechaper on everything. If you are mefais chavera, there's mechaper on everything. And if you're not mefais chavera, it's not the Yom Kippur is not going to be mechaper on that bin adam ma'amakam zidim. That was a mechudish dike suggestion. Lifnei Hashem titoru. What does it mean? Lifnei Hashem titoru. So the Rosh at the end of Yuma quotes from Rabbeinu Sadia Goyen that on Erev Yom Kippur everybody has to go to mikveh and you say a bracha shekadoshan mitzvot b'tzavano ala tefillah. So the Rosh understood that the Rav Sadia Goyen means to say that chayvan matar atzmo beregel. So he says that doesn't apply bizmanus. That does only applies to sholosh shigolim and the zechiyah baliyah leregel. You have to be able to enter into Azara. Bizmanas, everybody's a Tommy Macy. You can't go to the Azara. So there's no Aliyah Leregel, Bizmanas. Eh? And there's no Aliyah Leregel on Yom Kippur either. So why, how does he come up to say, you say a bracha when you go to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur? So the Aruch HaShulchan and others suggest, no, Rav Sadia Goyen didn't mean based on Chayvar Matar Atzma Beregel. That's only on Sholosh Regolim. And that's in order to be able to visit the Azara, Bizmanas, that we're all Tommy Macy and can visit the Azara. No, Rav Sadia Goyen learned pshat in the pasuk lifnei Hashem titoru. Before Yom Kippur enters, on Yom Kippur we are in the state of lifnei Hashem. As Yom Kippur is about to enter, we should all do titoru. We should all be toivel in a mikveh. That's how he read pshat in the pasuk. So according to Rav Sadia Goyen, it has to be a kosher a mikveh. You can't use maim zochlim. You can't use a mikveh that's good enough for a balkeri. You have to have a real kosher mikveh that's good for tefilas noshim, good for tefilas kelim, for tefilas kelim. You have to have a kosher mikveh. We usually assume not like that. We usually assume that the minig to go, it's a minig and not a din, and we don't say a bracha on it, and the minig to go to mikveh, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur, those who have, not everybody has the minig. The minig is based on a different story, that Ezra made a takana spalkeri, is not allowed to daven, not allowed to learn, until he goes to the mikveh. And then in a later generation, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseri was from the Tanoim. So he did away with the Takanas Ezra with respect to learning. He quoted the pasuk Halakot Dvar Ka'esh Niyom Hashem. Divrei Torah is like Esh. Ma Esh ain't Mekabel Tuma. Esh is not a tangible object. It can't be Mekabel Tuma. So to have Divrei Torah not Mekabel Tuma. So he did, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseri abolished Takanas Ezra with respect to learning because Divrei Torah not Mekabel Tuma. So it doesn't bother me the fact that the person is a Balkarian is going to be learning Torah. So the Shaila, there was a big machlokes in Rishonim when Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseri abolished Takanas Ezra with respect to learning. What about the other half of Takanas Ezra? The Balkeri is not allowed to daven. Did he do away with that also or not? So the Rambam says he did away with the whole Takanah. The Rambam says the Rambam writes in the Mishnah Torah, he personally goes to mikveh whenever he's a Balkeri before he davens. But he says it's only a chumrah because Mi'ikra Din, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseri abolished the whole Takanas Ezra. You don't have to. So why does he do it? Because the only reason why they abolished them, because Mishnah said, the only reason why they abolished Takanas Ezra, because he saw that it's a gzera shenrei batzi b'yichodim lamed boy. But the gzera was a correct gzera. What Ezra made was a correct gzera. Shelo yuhu tamir chachamim nitzuim eitzun ushasem ketana goylim. They don't want the people to be balkeri all the time. Once in a while they should be with their wives, but not every single day. So that's why that was to serve as a deterrent, that people shouldn't be marbe b'tashmesh too much. So the Rambam says, the reason why they abolished the takana, because it's ein rei batzi b'chadam lamed, but it was a correct takana. So that's why he personally still observes the minik, that takana says with respect to davening. And others disagree. The Rosh in Brochas quotes the Ravid. We don't have any Ravid there. The Rosh quotes, maybe it's a different Ravid. We don't, not sure, different people with the same name, Ravid. So the Rosh quotes a Ravid who disagrees with the Rambam and who thinks that Takana says it was only abolished by Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseri vis-a-vis davening. They never were mevatel, Takana says it with respect to they only were mevatel, Takana says with respect to learning. They were never mevatel with respect to davening. Kol dvari ko'esh, ma'esh eni mekabel tuma af di return not mekabel tuma, so you're allowed to learn. Even though you're a Balkeri, but you're not allowed to daven. So that's the Shaila in Aseres Me'etshuva. Maybe it's Kedai to be Choshish for the opinion of the other Rishonim, even though all year long we don't follow that Shita. We allow a Balkeri to daven. We're not nervous. We're not Makbid. When Aseres Me'etshuva, we're Machman and various things. So we should really be Machman that too. That we shouldn't allow the Balkeri to daven. She should go to Mikvah. That's what it's all based on. Yeah. It's Yadua from the Vilna Gaon that he felt that you're not allowed to change the Nusach HaBrocha from what it says in the Chazal. So the Brocha at the end of the Shemona Esrei, and Brocha Samisor Ba'Shalom, he thought that that's not right, that you change it now, Seres Meitshuva, to say Oseh HaShalom. The Gemara says you change the Brocha HaMelech HaKodesh instead of HaKel HaKodesh, and Melech HaTzadok HaMishpah instead of HaMelech HaMishpah. But the Gemara never says you change the Brocha and Brocha Samisor Ba'Shalom, so that's not right. You shouldn't say Oseh HaShalom. Same thing, the Vilna Gaon was makbid when you duchen on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur on the Shalosh Regalim when you duchen. So the Chazan changes the bracha. We say b'ser v'alach asir aseinu. We say a piyut before the duchening. Then the Chazan changes the loch instead of hamachzor shchein also the tzion. He says shoschol v'atcha b'yira na'avod. It never says anywhere in halacha. That's a psalmining that develops. So the Vilna Gaon felt that that's not proper. He's changing the nusach habracha. That's not right. So he said, even when you do, you say also, ha-machzeh shchinoso l'tzion. Then in the Seder HaVodah, during the lifetime of Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Nusach Sfarad was full of more, Nusach Sfarad, Seder HaVodah had more mistakes than the Nusach Ashkenaz. So the Beis Yosef has a whole page where there's no tour, and there's no Bach, I think it's only Beis Yosef, and he corrects everything. So the printers were nice enough to use their brains, and all the corrections that the Beis Yosef makes in the Nusach Sfarad were put into the Machzor. And then, after he corrected Nusach, he was a Sfardi. Rabbi Yosef Karo was a Sfardi. After he put in all the corrections into the Machzor, so now the Nusach Sfarad is better than the Nusach Ashkenaz. Originally, the Nusach Ashkenaz was more accurate. Now the Nusach Sfarad is more accurate. So the Chayodim has a lot of Hagoyas. He corrects everything. But the printers never took all the corrections of the Chayodim and put them into the Machzor. In the Yeshiva, every year, for the last few years, they distribute a sheet that has the Seder HaVodah with all the corrections of the Chayodim. Really, it's not right. You say a Seder HaVodah, and it doesn't correspond to what it says in the Mishnayos. You should really say the corrected version. We only have HaKanim HaOm Hom, the Mazor, three times. Each time the Kohen Gadol says Vidui, the Baal HaTanya said that's a mistake. But the Gemara said Beferish. When he said Lashem Chatos, he said the Shem Amfarish, and they said also Hakanav Amhom the Masora. So the Baal HaTanya introduced, he should say Hakanav Am four times. He should say it after Lashem Chatos also. Basically,
why don't they fall Korah four times?
Yes, so Rav Soloveitchik had the meaning that you do fall Korah all four times, that you Hakanav Am. The Baal HaTanya didn't want to change it that much. He just said you should say Hakanav Am, but they don't kneel on the floor. Kneeling on the floor is a minhag, so he said. You should say the Seder HaVodah, that says in the Gemara. And you should say four times Hakanav Am, that's what it says in the Mishnayos. That was four times. But you're not mechuyev to bow four times. Rav Soloveitchik introduced his little minion in Boston that they would tuck and kneel on the floor all four times. The two basic differences between the Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfarad. The Cheshek Shlomo points out, Rav Shlomo LeVilna was the Magia on the Vilna Shas when it was printed the late 1800s. So in the back of the Gemara, they have the Horus Cheshek Shlomo. So he points out, there's a whole Masichta, Yuma, I think the first eight Prokim, if I'm not mistaken, or the first seven Prokim, all about the Seder HaVodah. Everything is spelled out, every single step, except when was the Tomas Shel Ben Arbaim brought on Yom Kippur? Was it the Avodah was divided into five units. First unit was done in Big Day Zohav, then Big Day Lov, Big Day Zohav, Big Day Lov, and then Big Day Zohav. So when was the Tomas Shel Ben Arbaim brought in Big Day Zohav? Was it in the third unit or the fifth unit? So that's the Machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. So the Nusach Sfarad Seder Avodah follows the Rambam. And Nusach Ashkenaz follows Rashi, at least that's right. Nusach Sfarad should follow the Rambam. Nusach Ashkenaz should follow Rashi. As to when they brought the Tomas Shel Ben Arbaim, in the third unit or in the fifth unit of Avodah. The first, the third, and the fifth units of Avodah were done in Big Day Zohar. Rav Shlomo LeVilna thinks that they're both not correct. He says, the Mishnah tells you when they bring the Tomas Shel Ben Arbaim. They bring the Tomas Shel Ben Arbaim in the afternoon. The day has 12 hours. After Chatzos there are 6 hours. The Hakrovas Tomas Shel Ben Arbaim takes an hour. So every day they would bring the Tomas Shel Ben Arbaim after 2.5 hours before. In other words, it would be if Chatzos is 12 o'clock, so that when the clock strikes 2:30, it would bring the Talmud Shabbat Abayim between 2:30 and 3:30. So when would they do it on Yom Kippur? So he says it depends. If it's a young Kohen Gadol and he's running and he's doing quickly, does all the Avodah, then he's going to be in the fifth unit. He'll be finishing so much more. He's young and running around. So he'll be up to in the middle of the fifth unit of Avodah when the clock is going to strike 2:30. But if he's an old Kohen Gadol and he can barely walk and he's doing everything slowly, then it's still going to be in the third unit of Avodah. Whenever it's 2:30, that's in bringing the Talmud Shabbat Abayim. That's what Shlomo Lilin says, not like Rashi, not like the Rama. Not that it was always the Talmud Shabbat Abayim was always done in the third unit, it was always done in the fifth, sometimes the third, sometimes the fifth. They brought the Talmud Shabbat Abayim when the clock strikes 2:30. That's his suggestion, the back of the Vilna Shas. That's one discrepancy between the Nusach Ashkenaz and the Nusach Svard. When was the Talmud Shabbat Abayim offered, the third unit or the fifth unit? That's the Machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. Then there's another contradiction, that when Rav Soloveitchik was in university in Berlin, he used to correspond with his father. So he wrote his father a whole shtickel Torah on this, and his father gave it, submitted it to be printed in the Yeshiva publication. Now the publication is called the Beis Yitzchok, then it used to be called Heidenu. So the Heidenu, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, submitted Rav Soloveitchik's Torah. There's a contradiction, a conflict between the Nusach Ashkenaz, Nusach Svard, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur does all the Avodah, and the Mishnah Maseches Tamid says that every day they had many, every day aside from Yom Kippur, many Kohanim would participate in the Avodah. One Kohen would do the Shechita, one Kohen would do the Kabbalah Adam, Alochas Adam, Zrikas Adam, Haktoras Emurim. Many Kohanim had to do Haktoras Emurim. You couldn't carry a whole ox. Each one part of it carried part. Some did Hepshit, some did Nituach. Everybody did a different Avodah. So the recurrent refrain in the Mishnah is Tamid. And the Mishnah says, every Kohen, when he finished his Avodah, that they had a lottery. Who has the schus to do which Avodah? So it always ends up, Hishtachav Avayotza, the Kohen, when he does an Avodah, would kneel on the floor, would bow. Then he would leave the Azor. So the Vilna Gaon said that's based on the Pasuk in beginning of Kisavai in Parshas Bikurim, that says after you bring the Bikurim to the Beis Hamikdash, it says the Hishtachavi Hisa Lefnei Hashem Elokecha. The farmer who brought the Bikurim has to be Mishtachavi. So the Vilna Gaon comments and now there is a Leo on Mishnah is Bikurim. This din the Hishtachavi Hisa Lefnei Hashem Elokecha is not part of the mitzvah. Basically, it's not part of the mitzvah of Bikurim. It's a general din kol hanichnosim la azara. For whatever purpose, have to be mishtachva before they leave. So that's why that's a recurrent refrain in Mishnah's, repeated many times over and over again in Mishnah's Talmud. Every kohen who did a little avoda every day of the year would be hishtachva v'yotza. And on Yom Kippur, did the kohen gadol do hishtachva? So Nusach Svarit, it says at the end of the day, after he finishes everything, before he's about to go home, he does hishtachva. Hishtachva v'yotza. But a Nusach Ashkenaz, it doesn't. He didn't do any hishtachva. So that's the question. The Paitan made a mistake. If he forgot, the Gemara doesn't say one way or the other. Did the Paitan make a mistake? They just forgot to write the hishtachva v'yotza, or is there some valid reason why perhaps we would not recommend that the Kohen Gadol should be mishtachva? That's what Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole suggestion. Maybe there's a good reason why he bedavka should not do hishtachva. The Siyas Kapayim, we assume there's no duchening balayla. All the Rishonim say duchening. There's no duchening balayla. So the Kohanim duchen in Musaf. In Brois, the duchen Shachas Musaf, both. Mincha is a machlokes hatanoim. On a regular day, you don't duchen by Mincha because of choshesh for shikris. Maybe they just had some wine. The shikris is not allowed to duchen. On Yom Kippur, on a tainis, everybody's fasting. So that's a machlokes hatanoim. We paskan, it's a loyplug rabban. Since every other day of the year, you don't duchen by mincha, so you don't duchen on the tiny sea. But what about ne'ilah? So if they get up to duchening in the middle of the night, so that's what most of the Rishonim say, there's no duchening by laila, because you have psukim where, ki bom bach Hashem l'sharso u'levorach b'shmo. Kodesh Baruch Hu chose the Kohanim that they should do hakrobas hakarbonis, and they should duchen u'levorach b'shmo. So just like you don't do akrobas akarbanas balayla, you don't do chem balayla either. So that's the Maharil, the Beis Yosef quotes, the Maharil quotes, and in Frankfurt, they used to duchen in the middle of the night. In Breuers, it's the middle of the night, and they duchen at the end of Nila. All the Rishonim say not so. So the Maharil defends the Maharil, and the Shagasai also has a sefer on Yuma, where he says the same. He comes to defend the minig in Frankfurt, why they duchen in the middle of the night, that duchening is compared to hakrobus karbonis, but the only karbonis that have to be by yom are only avodas adam. The dalal avodas adam shchita kabbalah halacha zvika haktoris emoyim mikedent he may do balayla or nisach hayayin nechosim niskem he can do balayla. Only the dalal avodas adam or the dalal avodas by a mincha that are parallel to the dalal avodas adam that you're not allowed to do balayla. So the embroiders they'll duchen on yom kippur shacharis musaf. And the Ila, they'll duchen all three times. There was one of the boys from the yeshiva who was a kohen and used to be a follower of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So his father always used to daven in Breuers. So on one occasion, before Aseres Meitzur, we went to visit the last Lubavitcher Rebbe. So he said jokingly, "Your father's going to duchen three times on Yom Kippur," because he was also in Germany, and he knew that that's their practice. They duchen three times. Duchen Shachris and Musaf and the Nila, even though the Nila is in the middle of the night, only in Frankfurt. The rest of Europe, they did not have that practice. Yeah. Amatzoy Yom Kippur, after we finish Nila, so we say Shem is Shema Yisrael, Baruch Shem, Hashem Hu Elokim. So some of the poskim pointed out, it's really already Tzeis HaKochavim, and really it's not right to say Shema without saying Shema in Birchei Seho. So when you say the Shemus, that's what it's called, Shema Yisrael, Baruch Shem, you should have in mind not to be Yotze with that Shema. If you're going to be Yotze Kriya Shema with that Shema, and you didn't say, I'll say the HaBracha, so then it's not proper. That was a Takonas Chachamim, that Shema should be recited, I'll say the HaBrachas. Okay, there are many more halachas to be pointed out by Yom Kippur. You should all be blessed with the Gemach Sima Toiva, good Gibbon. I believe that after the Amitayim, after Sukkot, we'll be starting the third parak in Megillah.
Beautiful.
So, it's over 40 years that on a Tuesday night we haven't learned Megillah. Rav Soloveitchik used to learn Megillah. So we haven't learned Megillah. So we'll start in the third parak, the Dinam HaBek Riyas HaTerah. Okay. A good Yom to everybody. Gemach Sima
Toiva.
Sure, thank you so much.
Welcome to you.
Gemach Sima Toiva, Gitke Ben Shtior.
Amen.
I believe that.
Rebbe, a quick question.
Yes, sure.
If a person is learning halacha and they end up starting to, let's say they read a Mishnah Berura who has a chumrah and they start practicing that chumrah, if later they realize that it's not widely accepted, do they have to do Ataras Nedarim to stop practicing that?
You ought to, yeah. You could say that it's a Kabbalah B'Toyes. He thought that it was accepted. Yeah. It's not so difficult to make Ataras Nedarim. So more correct is, you should put together a Bez Nebimata Neda. You have to be careful to say, I don't have Charotah on observing the Midas Chassid, I have charata that I should have said Bali Neder. That's what it says in the printed text in the Siddur. I don't have charata. You're not allowed to be toya all of Rishonis. Say, I don't have charata on the Midas Chassid, I have charata that I forgot to say Bali Neder. But it's not so difficult. So you make a Hataras Nedarim, yeah? Okay.
Okay, thank you, Rebbe.
Agut Yor, everyone.
Agut Kavan Shor, Rebbe.